I'm Arun Vanagopal, in for Tanzina Vega, and you're listening to The Takeaway.
It's a new day because Harvey Weinstein has finally been held accountable for crimes he committed. The women who came forward courageously and at great risk made that happen.
After weeks of highly public and emotional testimony, the trial of Harvey Weinstein came to an end.
Rape is rape, whether it's committed by a stranger in a dark alley or by an intimate partner in a working relationship. It's rape, whether it's committed by an indigent person or a man of immense power, prestige, and privilege. Rape is rape, whether the survivor reports within an hour, within a year, or perhaps never.
That was Manhattan DA Cy Vance speaking at a press conference yesterday after the disgraced Hollywood mogul was found guilty of third-degree rape and first-degree criminal sexual assault. Weinstein could now face up to 29 years in prison.
Harvey Weinstein will now have to finally face the serious consequences of his criminal behavior at his sentencing here in New York on March 11th.
Gloria Allred there, who represented several of the victims. And though he was found guilty on two charges, Weinstein was acquitted of three other ones, including the most serious charge, predator sexual assault. Six women took the witness stand during his trial: Jessica Mann, Mimi Haley, Annabella Sciorra, Dawn Dunning, Tara Lee Wolfe, Lauren Young. Their allegations represent just a fraction of Weinstein's alleged abusive behavior. At least 100 other women have spoken publicly about being sexually assaulted and harassed by him. In 2015, Manhattan DA Vance, who you just heard, declined to arrest and prosecute Weinstein for a misdemeanor sex crime. This was despite an NYPD sting operation that caught Weinstein on tape admitting to groping Ambra Batilana Gutierrez, who filed a police report against him. Weinstein's case has become synonymous with the Me Too era. Yesterday's verdict is a historic moment for the women at the center of this trial and survivors everywhere. Let's talk about it. We turn to Irene Carmon, senior correspondent at New York Magazine, and Shayna Jacobs, who covers New York federal courts for The Washington Post. Thanks to you both for coming on the show.
Thanks for having you.
Irene, your story was headlined, "The Weinstein Verdict is Radical." What makes this radical?
Harvey Weinstein has been synonymous with Me Too. He's been kind of the monster of what we've learned about sexual assault and harassment. But it's one thing to have more than 100 women courageously speak out about someone. It's quite another to get a criminal conviction based on the cases of two women that were quite complex in their facts. For the jury to understand that an individual can be sexually assaulted or raped by somebody like Harvey Weinstein on one day and send them an affectionate note or even have consensual sex with them afterwards is something that's relatively new for people to understand. We might think about it as being closer to domestic violence, but this was a different kind of relationship. It was women who were seeking career advancement through Harvey Weinstein, who exerted an enormous amount of power. Now, it wasn't the entire system that was on trial. It wasn't all of the enablers of Harvey Weinstein. It wasn't his economic power that was on trial. It was, did he assault these two women? And so for the jury to say beyond a reasonable doubt that he did, I think takes us in a different direction than where we've been before with respect to criminal law.
Shayna, were you surprised by this verdict?
I don't know that I was surprised. I agree that this is the case that the Manhattan DA's office brought against Weinstein now is the kind of case that would have been considered untouchable prior to October 2017 when the Me Too movement essentially began. The stories that Mimi Haley and Jessica Mann told were extremely complicated, you know, to the point where there was a big question of whether the jury would understand what they were saying, that they were assaulted and then continued to maintain contact with Weinstein for years. And, you know, they admitted that they wanted him in their lives because they thought he could be beneficial. They were both sort of like struggling in their careers. They were trying to establish themselves in one way or another. Mimi was trying to get, at some point, was trying to get him to adopt TV scripts that she had written. And Jessica Mann was trying to become an actress. And neither of them really became successful in what they were seeking at the time. But it didn't stop them from maintaining contact with Weinstein. So the jury had a very serious question in front of them, and that was, is it possible that they were victims of sexual assault, even though email records and other evidence and even their own testimony contradicts the commonly held thought of how a sexual assault victim behaves?
Irene, Weinstein was found guilty of these two charges, but found not guilty of the other three. Can you remind us of what those were?
Sure. Two of those charges were predatory sexual assault related, which would have required accepting the testimony of Annabella Sciorra, who said that Harvey Weinstein raped her in either late 1993 or early 1994. And then there was also a charge related to Jessica Mann, which was first-degree rape, which they opted to go with third-degree rape in her case. And these would have, the predatory sexual assault cases were the most serious out of all the felonies with which he was charged. Ultimately, we don't know why it was that they decided not to convict on Annabella Sciorra's testimony. I find it really interesting as somebody who I've reported on sexual assault and harassment for a very long time. I've spoken to countless victims. And we have this sort of notion of the perfect victim that this case challenged in many ways. But I have to say that many people assume that Annabella Sciorra's account aligned most closely with what people assume a perfect victim is. She was in her apartment. She says that Harvey Weinstein broke down the door, held her down, and raped her. That said, the challenge that this case, all of the cases, but especially Annabella Sciorra's account had, is that a lot of time had passed. And in her case in particular was by far the oldest. And so while we do not know why it was that first on Friday the jury deadlocked in her case and subsequently decided not to convict with respect to her account, we do know that it was almost 27 years. Yeah, and she did not know the exact date. There wasn't other evidence. She did tell her friend Rosie Perez, who did testify. But that said, given that we heard from so many different women in this trial, it's impossible to separate that out from the jury's decision on if the question was that they were weighing Harvey Weinstein's credibility or his defense's credibility against these women. It was the two women on whose cases they convicted him, but it was also this cascade of voices saying that Harvey Weinstein was someone who had a pattern of predation, taking advantage of vulnerable women and, as prosecutors said, treating them like ants to be crushed.
What are we hearing from Weinstein and his team? You were outside the courthouse yesterday, correct?
I was, yes.
Tell me more about what are they saying right now?
Their biggest thing right now is that they don't believe Weinstein had a fair trial at all. They are going to fight vigorously to get his conviction appealed, which is not necessarily an easy thing. But they're going to focus on the, I'm not sure if it's unprecedented media attention to this case. We have the, obviously other huge trials in history, like O.J. Simpson, comes to mind. But this case began with, on day one, the Los Angeles DA's office dropping a new indictment. And, every newspaper in the world was writing about it. I mean, they really don't believe that he got a fair trial at all. There were rulings they disagreed with from start to finish. Evidence came in, and they are, I'm sure they're going to focus very heavily on the fact that three women who were not officially part of the charges were allowed to come in and testify against him. They're going to say that the DA's office was just piling it on, that they created this image of him as, a villain, as a monster, as someone who habitually assaulted women. I think they're just going to be heavily focusing on the fact that, in their view, didn't have a fair trial at all.
Irene, Me Too has been playing out in the press for a few years now, but this one, like the Cosby case, actually had its day in court. How critical are convictions like this?
It's complicated because every lever of power that Harvey Weinstein had, he exercised to avoid this day. He did so much to stay outside of a courtroom. He hired ex-Mossad spies. He intimidated journalists. He intimidated women. He paid millions of dollars in settlements, all so that he would not see the inside of a courtroom. And for a long time, it worked. We heard the beautiful words of Cy Vance, but we also know that for years, Cy Vance has declined to prosecute very powerful men. Jeffrey Epstein was in New York's jurisdiction. There was famously the case brought by a hotel housekeeper, the complaint brought by a hotel housekeeper against Dominique Strauss-Kahn, in which Cy Vance's office dropped it. Robert Haddon, the gynecologist, also, now they recently reopened an investigation after many more women came forward. And so I think we have to see this in the context of the fact that an unequal justice system comes down on people who cannot fight it as Harvey Weinstein fought it. So if a powerful person like Harvey Weinstein is seeing accountability in court, it may just be a drop in the bucket. It may be, you know, most people who are sexually assaulted, they're not famous actresses. They aren't accusing somebody who they make jokes about him at the Oscars. And a criminal conviction may not be what they want. Many survivors have said that they find even just the process of what these women went through, sitting on the stand, being cross-examined for hours, re-traumatizing. That said, this is one lever in a broader system that has not been responsive to complaints from victims who did want to go through the criminal justice system and did want to see their alleged predators go to prison. And so I do think it's huge that the jury accepted the complex facts of this case. It's different from what we've seen before. But it's just one part of a bigger system that Harvey Weinstein used to his advantage to get away with it and to silence women for years.
Shannon, were there any particular moments from reporting on this that stood out to you? Pivotal moments, perhaps?
The testimony in general was just so a thing to witness. These women were clearly forever affected by their interactions with Weinstein. And it was, I mean, they came forward in front of dozens of people in the courtroom and everyone in the world reporting on what they were saying. So it was a very courageous thing for them to do this. It was no light thing. It was no easy thing. Their names forever are going to be associated with this case. So it was a momentous thing to witness. The trial was just, we were watching history play out in front of us. And, you know, I think it was a very powerful thing.
Shana Jacobs covers New York federal courts for The Washington Post. And Irene Carmon is a senior correspondent at New York Magazine. Thanks to you both for joining us.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I'm Ira Flatto, host of Science Friday. For over 30 years, our team has been reporting high-quality news about science, technology, and medicine. News you won't get anywhere else. And now that political news is 24/7, our audience is turning to us to know about the really important stuff in their lives. Cancer, climate change, genetic engineering, childhood diseases. Our sponsors know the value of science and health news. For more sponsorship information, visit sponsorship.wnyc.org.